In many ways, mandatory minimums have been a centerpiece of Emanuel's response to gun violence over the last year.
3-year minimum, serious gun offenses, with truth in sentencing.
3-year minimum for gun crimes and the truth in sentencing, so people
should
actually
include
a 3-year minimum in truth in sentencing for all guns.
I believe in a 3-year penalty for gun crimes. If you commit the crime, you must serve the time.
Emanuel's push reached a bit of a fever pitch last week as he held a press conference with the parents of kids who have been killed. With parents struggling to hold back tears, Emanuel reacted to estimates that it would cost as much as $130 million a year to house all the inmates who got the longer sentences.
I will never, ever, ever accept the notion that a human life is reduced to whether a state budget can take in the issue from a cost-benefit analysis, because there is no way I'm going to look them in the eye and say, Cleo, Nate, Pam, the Worthens, I'd like to give you your cost-benefit analysis of how we look at the violent criminals that should have been behind bars.
Now, one thing about that, Emanuel doesn't actually need to worry about the cost-benefit analysis because all the costs would fall on the state, which pays for prisons, not on the city of Chicago. And the benefits? Well, there's been a lot of hubbub about that recently. In response to the price tag, the University of Chicago Crime Lab released a research memo a week and a half ago arguing that Emanuel's mandatory minimums would actually be a good deal. Given the starring role mandatory minimums have played in this country's 40-year incarceration binge, Crime Lab co-director Harold Pollack says he understands people are skeptical of any effort to increase prison sentences.
I get that, and I respect that. I don't think we can allow that real historical context to blind us to the urgent need to deal more effectively and in a more focused way with the gun violence in this city.
Pollack says we're not talking about 25 years for drug possession. It's 3 years for carrying an illegal gun, a crime that creates a more dangerous environment for everyone. The Crime Lab memo argues that giving a 3-year sentence to everyone caught carrying an illegal gun will incapacitate those potential reoffenders, and the crimes prevented will save taxpayers, outweighing the costs of incarceration. The memo also argues that mandatory minimums will deter crimes.
There's little evidence that making the consequences any more severe than they already are has a deterrent effect.
Daniel Nagin teaches at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh. He's studied what does deter crime. He says traditionally, we've thought that the certainty of punishment stops would-be criminals. That's the idea behind mandatory minimums.
But when you look more closely at the evidence, the proper conclusion is that the certainty of apprehension is a very effective deterrent.
And who apprehends criminals? It's not mandatory minimums. It's police. Nagin gives the example of two men getting into an argument. If one of them has a gun nearby, but there's a police car right there, he's unlikely to pull out the gun.
If they're willing to commit those sorts of resources to the problem of gun violence, they should direct those resources to policing.
I defer to the judgment of law enforcement.
Mike Zaleski is the state representative sponsoring Emanuel's mandatory minimum bill in Springfield. We spent an hour talking about why he's sponsoring this bill, given the cost and the legacy of mandatory minimums. He cited the Crime Lab memo, but then he went on to say,
It's very nice to have studies, and it's very nice to sit in offices and compile data and think about ways in which the world should work. But we don't live in that world when we have these shootings, and Superintendent McCarthy doesn't live in that world, and Anita Alvarez doesn't live in that world. And what they're telling us is they need help. And when that happens, when law enforcement cries out for help, it's our duty to step up.
Increasing penalties for illegal gun possession will save lives. And at the end of the day, that's how this bill should be measured. Not about dollars and cents.
Superintendent McCarthy knows better than he says here. If you injected truth serum in Superintendent McCarthy, he'd tell you a somewhat different story.
Frank Zimmering is a criminologist who studied the crime decline in New York City. He says their astonishing 80% drop in crime and homicides over the last 20 years could not have been because of mandatory minimums. The mandatory minimums in New York that McCarthy and Emanuel like to talk about, they weren't even passed there until 2006, after most of the crime decline had already occurred.
What's going on here is much more theater.
Laws like this are primarily symbolic.
Mike Tonry is another authority on deterrence. He teaches at the University of Minnesota Law School and says laws like this do little to tamp down gun violence.
They are primarily a way that public officials can demonstrate that they are doing something about a disturbing problem, even though there is no valid basis for believing that that something will make any difference in the real world.
If Tonry and Zimring are right, and this is political theater, it's pretty heavy theater. Here's Mayor Emanuel again at the press conference last week addressing the grieving parents who joined him, including Hydea Pendleton's mother.
I want to thank you for taking your personal pain and trying to make it into a public good and make us better. And I know how painful it is to be here, to speak about this. And I know this, Cleo, that it brings it all back and makes it fresh again.
Emanuel has put some money into prevention programs, and he talks about the need for a comprehensive gun violence strategy. But if you're looking to reduce gun violence, there's one thing that all the researchers I talk to agree on. They all say there's lots of research that shows increasing the number of police brings down gun crime. Zimring, who studied New York, says that city increased its department by 41% in the 90s, and that was one of the keys to its success. But increasing the size of the Chicago Police Department is one thing Emanuel has not done. Candidate Emanuel promised to use TIF money to hire 1,000 new officers. He never did, though he repeatedly told the public he did. In reality, he shut down some large police units and shifted those officers to beats and said they were new officers on the street. That most certainly was political theater. The last word will go to Stephen Raphael. He teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. He has one fairly simple question for Illinois legislators considering Emanuel's mandatory minimums.
If you're going to spend this amount of money to address this problem, what is the best use of these funds? You've considered one alternative that at the moment the rest of the country is abandoning. And so is there another way that these monies could be used to combat crime?
Representative Zaleski, the sponsor of the bill, says he didn't have the votes he needed in the spring, but that now may be the right time to bring mandatory minimums to a vote. I'm Robert Wildeboer.